Institute for the denomination. Some of our churches are participating in that training for elders. Today we'll have Martin come back up for some more teaching and then Q&A. And then we're going to close with a song which has a unique Williamsport flavor. Since you're here in Williamsport, we sang a song that has a Williamsport flavor, and I'll have Eric explain what that is when we're done here. But so go ahead, Martin.
Thank you all for hanging out after lunch. This is the worst time to get together, you guys, right? So if you nod off, I won't take it personally. Your bodies are responding to the rush of food in your system. You know what we'll do right now? I want to talk about, I mentioned that the ones who have learned this theology of mission, that mission comes from the attribute of who God is rather than the condition of fallenness. And the reason this is so important is that we are challenged with mission because we think that we're always trying to get people to involve in fixing a problem. And how do we make a problem winsome? Mission is not fixing a problem. Mission is evidencing who we've been adopted by and those attributes that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. So it's just who we are. And it's not something that we have to drum up. It's just, to be a good Christian missionary, you have to receive the mission of God first, right? Which is his love in Jesus and his forgiveness. So it's not hard to be on mission. Just say, thank you, I say yes. That's how mission starts. And then you just keep going. And so it changes everything. It's still hard at times, but it's not complicated. So what I'd like to do is talk about the logic of election for a second, okay? And the logic of election, and since most of us here are Presbyterians, and I want you to see what Leslie Newbegin does with John 15. Because when we Presbyterians use the word election, coming from ek kaleo, ek being out, kaleo means called out ones, we think that we are elected because God likes us, and that's not the point. And in John 15, Newbegin says, the purpose of election is for the sake of mission, not staring at your belly button and saying, good for me, I'm saved. That's not the purpose of election. Like, oh, I'm elect, awesome. That's not the purpose of election. Election has a driven missiology behind it because God is always calling out and giving love. I want you. I give myself. I'm always donating myself. That's a great phrase, self-donation. The essence of mission is self-donation. God is always donating himself. For example, this is a little sequitur, but when I was a kid, about 13, I thought, what's the deal with the first commandment? Love me, love me, don't love me. Love me, love me, love me, love me. Is God insecure? Like, what's the stuff with God? I was saying, love me, don't have any other, like, you know. My mom always said that people that are like that are kind of insecure. Is God insecure, saying, love me? And I realized, no. God is only saying for us to do what God has been doing from all eternity. When God says love, he's saying, I want you to do what I've been doing all along. I love the Son, and I love the Spirit. And it's so good to give myself away and love someone. I want you all to do what I'm doing. I want you to be part of this Trinitarian love. I'm not arrogant. I just can't keep it to myself. I have to share it. Does that make sense? And that was St. Augustine's argument for the Trinity, by the way, that God is love, and for God to be love, God had to give himself away to someone else. If you just love back yourself, that's not called love. That is called arrogance. But one real person gave his love to another real person who gave his love to another real person in this Trinitarian love. So let's look at the logic of mission in Genesis 15 for just a second, okay? And you can find this in Leslie Newbegin's writing. I don't think this is in the Gospel of a Pluralist Society. He's written several books that are very readable, by the way. Do you all know who Leslie Newbegin is? He was a Presbyterian and an Episcopal missionary. He was both a bishop of the Episcopal Church and a great Presbyterian missionary. He was the head of the World Council of Churches in the 50s and 60s, spent 30 years in Madras, India, and is probably, I think, the finest missionary for us to understand that the Missio Dei, the mission of God. And he's the one that spurred on David Bosch and others to write about and to bring back mission to the attribute of who God is rather than the result of fixing something that's been broken. And that changes everything. But in John 15, which is under Understand the Mission of Day, John 15, 12 to 17. I'll read you words that we often read. John 15 is kind of, for us have been pastors, you guys and gals have been pastors a while. This is kind of the marriage stuff. You know, John 15 and 1 Corinthians 13, this tends to be the marriage stuff that we get to. But I'll read John 15, 12 to 17, and we'll talk about the logic of mission just for a second, and then we'll do a Q&A. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Now in verse 16, here we come to the logic of election. This is the key verse. You did not choose me, but I chose you. That is election, is it not? You did not choose me, but I chose you. Now listen to the rest of it. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. You did not choose me, but I chose you, that you would go and bear fruit. It does not say go and stare at your belly button. Go and bear fruit. God has elected us to give our love away. And to the degree we're not giving it away to others, we are betraying our election. We are distribution centers, or what I said to the class earlier is that we often think that we are Burger King, that when God saves us, you know, everything just comes to us and we have the doors open and we're elect, and if you want some of this, you got to come here. He says, no, we're dominoes. We got to deliver and give it away. We're all dominoes. And to the effect that we're not Domino's Pizza and giving it away, we don't understand our election. Because election is about having the heart of a missionary God who is always giving himself away. Does that make sense? So the logic of election is for the sake of others. And to the degree that we use it and isolate it as a theological example of the order of salvation, we're betraying it. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Why? So that you would be part of my mission. Now go, have fun, give it away. And when people stop going and having fun and giving it away, God gets upset. That's the whole book of Jonah. God chose Abram, God chose Israel, and then they stopped. He said, give it away, and they stopped. And God says, I'm going to send you a water taxi, put you on a shore where you didn't, and give one message. And God saved all the Ninevites, and they were upset because they were giving it away. And God says, I don't get you. You don't know me. I want you to give it away. I want you to give it away. And when Jesus, remember when Jesus was asked, why do you care for such marginalized people, broken people, outsider people? We demand a sign. He said, I'll give you no sign but the sign of Jonah. What's the sign of Jonah? I'm a missionary God. I give it away to everybody because they're all God-made. And if you don't understand that about me, you don't know my heart. It's who I am. Okay? So the logic of mission, the logic of election is that God chooses us. Now, we also, there is a matter of human liberty here. We're not going to get into the whole debate, right? But we have to volitionally trust in Jesus. But we also know that God operates within us by his Holy Spirit, and he has given us this stuff so that we would give it away. So if anyone asks you, what's the doctrine of election about, Pastor? You say, well, it's about this. It's about mission, not about navel gazing. Does that make sense? You'll see this same thing in Ephesians chapter 1, actually. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. Election is for the sake of others, not for our sake. Okay, let's have a little Q&A for a few minutes on any questions that we've talked about related to, again, and this is just my doing of secular. I wanted you all to have just an acronym, like the SEC is the problem of secularism. The U is the mission of God, understand the mission of God, and the LAR is kind of the... I think prescriptives that we can do to enter into this secular realm and make a difference in people's lives, with our churches and with ourselves. To listen and love them, to adapt our Christianese accent and adopt them, to challenge them. Again, when you think of adapting and adopting, from our context, a lot of us think that's the language of compromise, right? No. We adapt and adopt in order to challenge them, because that's what you do with your friends. You tell them what's on your heart. We don't adapt and adopt to become chameleons and to lose our spine. We adapt and adopt to challenge them as friends. I didn't say change. You notice that? Adapting our language and adopting them relationally. That's what I mean. Adapting our language, not our theology. And adopting them in our hearts. So I'm not saying change the theological grid at all. I'm saying adapting how we say things, adopt them in our heart, and challenge them. And then relate to Jesus. Relate to Jesus in our propositions, in our prayers, in our presence, in our practices. And that's the little Baptist side. You have to have all the alliteration with all the P's there. And whatever other P's you guys can throw, and gals can throw up there, just throw up more P's. Make them stick. But just the practices of the faith. Find ways also of rehearsing the mighty deeds of God in history. Do things that are physical in the church. That's really important. God came in the flesh. And I love that when we rehearse the deeds of God, even with Palm Sunday, and you know, we were a Presbyterian church in Santa Fe, and people thought we did the Stations of the Cross, we did feet washing on Maundy Thursday, we did Ash Wednesday, all these things. Because in the pagan society of where I was in Santa Fe, people didn't know that Jesus was God. They thought Jesus was a really cool kind of mystical figure. But by doing these things, we said, this is what God the Son did for us on Good Friday. We're going to follow him on how he died for us. And on Easter Sunday, you know, at the early sunrise service, we handed out mimosas, but only at the sunrise service. Because you know what? It's Sunday. He's risen indeed. Hear, hear. And that's what we would do. Now, not at the early, at the later service. It's only the early service. Because that's time to celebrate, and that's what we would do. So we did all kinds of strange things like that, but it caught on. People kind of understood that. That's what we do.